questions from the Bible. Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
At 6:15, welcome to Bible Perspective once again here on Adventist World Radio, powered by the SID Media. I am your host, Zanele Zama. Today we're speaking about all things absent fathers. So please do engage with us on +27 734 70 3520. That number again is +27 734 70 3520. So the scourge of absent fathers is nothing new, yet it's a very, very painful subject. So in South Africa alone, only 31.7% of black children live with their biological fathers. Yeah, compared with 51% of colored children, 86% of Indian children or Indian or Asian children, and 80% of white children. This is according to the Statistics South Africa. But physical presence alone does not translate to responsible and involved fathers. This is an issue that we deal with. Who do not share their parenting work besides being an ATM machine? Some of us, we know this one, that come the 25th, the money will be there, but we don't know who's sending the money because we do not have a relationship with those fathers there. So statistics have also shown that children who grow up with or without the father tend to have more incidents of teenage pregnancies, drug abuse, and ending up in prison and all the negative social melodies that they are facing today. So in today's conversation, I'm super excited. It's the first time I'm interviewing Pastor Papu, so I'm super excited. We are joined here by Dr. Papu, who is the Family Ministry Director at the Southern African Indian Ocean Division of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And then we are also joined by two of my guests. One of them is Ulinda Mkwanazi, and the other one is Brother Arnold here, I think I said it correct. Yes, Kasalwe there. Both of them, what they are going to be doing is they are going to be sharing with us, you know, how they grew up, how life has been without their fathers, you know. So we're going to be getting the real life experience from them there. Pastor Papu, how are you?
I think I'm okay. It's cold in Cape Town.
I see you're drinking tea. And very I was cold. Like, I wanted to say, please Bluetooth me the tea.
Yeah, now I can do that. By the time it gets, it'll be very cold. It's cold here.
Esha, no, thank you so much for coming through to speak to us. Linda, how are you? Linda, unmute yourself there. It froze, you know. It doesn't want you to come talk about your dad. Linda. Okay, while Linda is unmuting them, please, I'm going to ask that before we start, can you please offer a word of prayer?
Okay, let us pray. Our kind and loving Father, we invite your presence in this program as we seek to understand your will and also find ways of dealing with our challenges as sinful human beings. In our prayers that we may not only focus on wounds, but we may also, Lord, embrace healing and move forward and learn from our pain and be a blessing to others. May you be with us now. Bless us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, kicking it right off, does the Bible speak about fatherhood? And if it does, what does it teach us about fatherhood?
Well, first of all, the Bible presents God as our father. So that's where we start. Mm-hmm. God is, and I know some people may take offense, but God is not present father, our Father who art in heaven, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So the first understanding of fatherhood seems to be in the analogy or given as a symbol. God, our Creator, is seen as our Father. He has fathered us. We originated from Him. Is our beginning. Mm-hmm. So in that. When I say God is our father, I'm not really interested in the gender.
Yeah.
But I'm interested more in his role as a protector, as the one who protects us. And so that's the figure of fatherhood. First and foremost, we find it from God. And then, of course, we have fathers. I mean, one of the famous fathers is Father Abraham.
Yeah.
Even at the chorus, Father Abraham had many sons. And the Bible represents him as the father of all nations. Mm-hmm. In other words, father in the sense of faith, that all those who believe, all those who share the faith of Abraham are regarded as sons of Abraham and daughters of Abraham. So in that sense, Abraham becomes the father. But also more closer, we have fathers who are husbands of wives who are also fathers. Of course, Abraham was the father to Isaac, but more than that, he was also a father to all of us. Mm-hmm. So that's the concept of fatherhood as God, and also symbolically Abraham in line of faith, but also our real biological fathers. You will see that in the Bible, when the genealogy is traced, in most cases, they will follow the father lineage. His father was so-and-so, his father was so-and-so. Of course, there are also mothers. It depends which genealogy you follow. But you find commonly it's father, this and the father, and yeah. So that's, in a nutshell, what I can share about the concept of fatherhood in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. So since Mpundisi, there is nothing new under the sun, as you know, we would say. Do we have people in the Bible, perhaps, that abandoned their children, fathers that were not present in their children's life, as we're going to be looking at absent fathers today? Do we have those people in the Bible that Hashem, they were not there?
No, we don't. As much as the Bible does highlight the significance of fathers in the family, you could ask the same question, by the way, that when did we have this father absence issue? Because when we grew up in the rural traditional village, we had situations where there were no fathers, but we didn't have the same consequences because the uncle and the tatumcinci, they were there, you know, yes. It was a big family. Even if your father is late or is in the mine or whatever, you wouldn't really experience that much. Of course, the divorce wasn't something that was very popular because marriage was viewed differently as it is today. Today, marriage is a romantic relationship between two people who love each other. But then it was marrying into the clan, into the family. So, mm-hmm. so much that even if you separate, the effects would not be as severe as they are now in the nuclear family that we have versus the extended family. Mm-hmm. So not only in the Bible, but also in our own tradition, our own background, you don't find much of that. The scourge of father absence is a relatively new thing. You can really trace it after the 80s, to be honest. After the 80s, 90s, that's when you started seeing the figures rising up. Mm-hmm. If I were to speak in the South African context, after the demise of apartheid, that's when we started seeing these figures, these numbers rising up astronomically.
Sure. Okay. So before I bring in Linda and Arnold, you know, to share with us, you know, the impact that them not growing up without their father has had on them. Mfundisi, you know, with the amount of years that, for example, you've been in ministry and you're also a father yourself, and besides being in ministry, the things that you are seeing in the communities, what would you say that are some of the common things that are leading to fathers not being present, you know, in their children's lives?
There are many causes. Maybe we could say historical causes, which maybe started the whole snowballing effect. You'd remember there was a time where fathers, African fathers, were forced to go in migrant labor. Mm-hmm. They would work, they would be for the whole year and working in the mines, in Cape Town and wherever, and they'll be there for roughly the whole year. And then they would come back in December, then they would leave. So pretty much young people grew up without their fathers. It's not like everyone. Not all fathers went to the mines. There were those who remained in the village. I'm just trying to mention. Then they would have other wives there, wherever they are working. And some would come back and others would not. So you had children who never really experienced the warmth and the protection of a father, who also became fathers and did not even see the value of being present for their children because they didn't even know what that means. It became culturally acceptable now for fathers to be absent, even when they are there, not to be involved in the lives of their children. So where we find ourselves in now today, there are ways, we are trying the best we can, but on the negative side, where we find ourselves today is that this thing of giving birth to children is fashionable, having children not being there. It has become very fashionable.
Sure.
I'll tell you what. Number one, you've got ladies who are powerful, who are influential, who are doing well financially, who just want to have children.
Mm.
That's all. They don't have connection to any man because of whatever traumas they have about fathers. They want to continue the cycle in having children without fathers. They make it very clear that we would have a child, but I don't want a father.
Sure.
Those are successful. They just want to have a living teddy bear. And then you have others, ladies, I'll say ladies or girls or females or women, who, because of poverty, children may be a way of earning some money in one way or the other, either from the father with support or from the government. Poverty can create all kinds of challenges. It's difficult to say no when you are poor. So we've discovered that the teenage pregnancies is not caused by teenagers to teenagers.
Hmm.
It's disparate. In other words, your teenage girls are pregnanted by older men.
Hmm.
Older men who happen to have money, happen to have some little things, that these kids who growing up in a poverty-stricken background, themselves without fathers, look up to these guys with cars and bicycles, whatever they have, or money, and look up to them as fathers. And we used to call them, they used to be called sugar daddy. Now that concept tells you that someone has no father somewhere,
yeah,
and has found somebody she can sugar daddy.
Mm.
So those guys were supposed to be taking the place of fathers, but unfortunately they became predators. They abused and took advantage of those girls, pregnanting them and then leaving them with those children. And then the cycle continued, and then the whole thing just goes on forever. So not only from the women's side, but also from the men who, because they happen to have some means. And I know when I grew up in Guguletu, having a child was fashionable. I mean, you would even brag, Nejoti, I've got a child, you know.
Yeah.
Even though you were not even working, struggling yourself, and obviously you would not look after that child. Even the whole idea of having children and deny that you are the father became very fashionable. No, you will not accept it. You would remember that traditionally, if a woman falls pregnant before marriage, the family, depending what culture, they'll take the woman to the family and say, there's a pregnancy. They'll own up to it, want to pay, try to make sure that this child has a family, has parents, pay and do this. And that went a long way in trying to secure the child and not make him or them feel like they are illegitimate children. So we have that term now, illegitimate children, when it is actually the act which is illegitimate and the parents who are actually illegitimate, but not the child.
Sure.
And so that's where we find ourselves. And now it has gotten to a point where it's fashionable. People don't. I'm not even talking about functional fatherhood. We just talk about absent. We're not even addressing those who are there and may not actually be functioning as fathers. But you talk about those who are just not there and they don't feel any connection. Now, so you could also ask why mothers, not mothers. Mothers are connected to their children biologically. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for a mother to know there are mothers who drop their children, but it's not something that's very popular. There's a connection between the mother and the child. The fact that you house this child in your belly for 9 months, it just brings that natural connection. Mm-hmm. Mothers will go everywhere. They'll do everything for their children. Fathers, it must be intentional. Your connection must be intentional. You may not feel anything if you're not part of that child. There's nothing that resonates. There's nothing that creates emotional connection except cognitive and your commitment and your intentionality that this is my child. He looks like me, whatever. And then you connect and you nurture that relationship. But for umama, it's there. It just, you can break it, but it's there. You start with it. And so we're not saying mothers are more responsible than fathers. We're just saying for mothers, it is easier, very difficult for them to just abandon their children. Mm. But for fathers, with that lack of connection, I guess it's not as difficult.
Mm-hmm. Let me bring in Linda now. We're speaking about absent fathers, we're speaking about present fathers. And I remember during the day, someone, even now, one of our listeners was like, let's define what a present father is first. Linda, as for example, I know your story. You were once a part of one of these other shows. You grew up without your dad. What would have made you to say, my dad is present? Like you defining what a present father is, before you can share with us, your story about how you grew up and everything else. For you, what is a present father?
Hey, good evening, Zanele. Hello. Good evening, Pastor and Arnold. I think for me, and I know this is going to sound crazy, but for me, the first thing that would have made it apparent that my dad is there would have been to see him. That would have been the first thing, because when my dad left, he just left, and he, before he actually died, because, well, eventually he died. But before he died, I had last seen my father when I was 12. So firstly, just him being there, sikusake, just himself would have made a difference. But secondly, for me personally, because I'm such a bookworm, school was such an important thing for me. So his involvement in my education would have made such a huge difference, especially considering the fact that I am the perfectionist that I am today, because he was largely that person that would push perfectionism with me. Like, it still amazes a lot of people. Like, why are you not happy with your results? My father was, one of those people who would say, you're an A student, and so anything less than 85% is not A student material. Mm. And so I would work so hard while other kids would rejoice over a 69. If I had a 77, for me, that was like, this is below par. This is not A student performance, So his involvement in my education, because you can't just umfagen 20 and then halfway through, you're just like, I'm out, But thirdly, the most important for me would have been that the socio-emotional part of it. Mm. Because you grow up, you're a girl. Obviously, you get to the point where now guys start noticing you. That's when I feel like I needed my dad the most. Because there's just so much going on. And you know how African mothers are, right? I had a typical African mother that you wouldn't even say, hey, man, there's this guy who's always following me around, Mm-hmm. And if you realize it, in the typical African setup, approaching your mother with these kind of things, it's mostly difficult. And also, I don't know what it is, but with African men, any home that has a father, they tread softly around approaching the girls. Mm-hmm. And so when you are fatherless, it's like, yes, Wonku, Jack and Jill, Peter, not John, it's just like, hey, Linda, I get food, And how that affects you as a girl, I feel like if he had been there then, it would have made such a huge difference also with my self-esteem. Because now, you know, a particular guy just comes, we are born an hour, he looks like the part-time Jay, he smokes nyaube, right? And you start questioning yourself, like, does he feel like we're in the same class? Does he feel like I would fit into his picture of, you know, smoking nyaube forever, yeah, right? And then the next one comes, and you're asking yourself all of these things as well. At the end of the day, you're so emotionally unstable because you're trying to figure out exactly nimbonani kahle kahle, or else is do I just look like easy target? And unfortunately, that boils down to how you think about yourself.
Sure.
Because then now you start thinking, maybe I'm not all that, you know? Maybe I'm just in the same category. Mhlambe, I think highly of myself. I'm actually in this. And then everything else would just fall down from there. So for me, those are the three most important things that would have. And obviously, surrounding all of this would have been a stability in who I am in Christ. Unfortunately, my dad was not... he was Adventist sharp, but you know, in those things where sometimes if he feels like watching a movie in the afternoon, he'll go for divine service, and then in the afternoon he'll just stay behind and watch Harry Potter, you know. And
Harry Potter.
and you know, that affects how you look at faith, even. Because for me, it was normal. I mean, my dad sometimes would decide on wearing something, even when he was still present. He would decide on wearing something on Sabbath morning. Whereas, umamu prepare mhlambe izolo, it's okay, he's going to put this on. But my dad was a fashionista. So when he decides, no, actually, today I want this, he'd wake up and be like, don't worry. He will iron his shirt on Sabbath. Iron it. So for me, when I grew up, in as much as like in my family, my grandfather, my grandmother, they were Adventists. The Adventism, the Christianity that I had was very diluted because of how my dad treated it.
Sure.
So I realized that we tend to emulate what our parents do when we're still very young, because that's what faith is. That's what Christianity is. So for me, as a young girl, even if umama, you know, my mom was different because, I mean, she grew up Adventist. My dad wasn't. My dad was a more dating evangelist kind of Adventist, right? Mm-hmm. He then married my mom and became Adventist. So with my mom, it was always, no, anzamen man, you know, get your things in order before Friday sunset. But because my dad is here doing these things, my mom's voice was very muffled.
Silent, yeah.
Because, Batu Dedimos, he irons his shirt. So I realized that from that then, my faith would have also been impacted. If I had a dad that was serious about his Jesus and spoke more about him and acted more like him, yeah, I would have been more stable. Unfortunately, I was Adventist, you know, Pathfinder and all of that. Eventually, I dabbled into being Roman Catholic for a while. I was first agnostic for a couple of years. As a very young girl, very, very young, at the age of 13, I was already agnostic. Because, I mean, if there's a God in heaven, why did this God allow my dad to leave my mom after 13 years of marriage, you know? So you see how it becomes a domino effect.
Yeah,
I became very agnostic, and then I went to a Catholic school. and that's another, direction that Mthambi, when we find time, we'll talk about. Yeah. The effect of educational choices on your children, especially as a father. I mean, I went to a Roman Catholic church, and because I had the voice, I then started singing in the choir. Yeah. Before you knew it, I was dabbling with Catholicism. Crazy stuff.
Yeah, so, Kuning, we can. Yeah. let's bring in Arnold now. Hi, Arnold. Unmute there.
Hi, Zanele.
How are you?
Hi, Pastor. Hi, Linda. How are you?
Hi,
Good, good. So, Arnold, you, I heard a bit. I'm not sure. I heard a bit, but talk to us about your dad being absent. I don't know why I'm saying dad or father is the same, ne? Yes, about your father. It's not, ne? Yeah. Because I'm like dead. I'm like, wait, father. I'm like, wait.
Everybody can be a father, but it takes very special people to be dead.
Sure. Yeah. Dead. Thank you for the difference.
Apparently, you're a father biologically, but you're a dead by your actions.
Okay. All right. All right. So, no, talk to us about your father being absent. How did that affect you? For example, with Linda, I could see someone was asking, so Linda's father was present up until the age of 12 and then he left. With you, is it something similar where you had an experience with your father or he was non-existent at all? How did that affect you?
Okay. Thanks, Zanelli. So My situation is kind of different from Linda,
mm-hmm.
in that unfortunately my father died when I was only 6.
Okay.
So really, I didn't get to experience him as a person. So all the things I know about him, I've known through mostly my siblings, because mm-hmm. unfortunately also my mother died only when I was 12.
Mm.
So even with my mother, I didn't like have a chat to see what kind of a father or a man he was, you know.
Mm.
So the absence is due to death,
mm-hmm.
unlike maybe something that someone does as an option, you mm-hmm. know. But not having him, it was a very, you know, at 6, I didn't understand, you know, I was young. But it's where you were kind of a big family. Then before you know it, your elder sister, because I'm the last born and we were like 9. It was a huge family, a big family, you know. So before you know it, your elder sister is no longer staying with you. Before you know it, you've been put in a different home, you know, and you're a kid. You really... I don't understand what's going on. So I can just back a little bit. I stopped staying with my mother when I was 9 because I think she was in and out of hospital. Then my mother had to move me to start staying with her elder brother, you know. So it's where, it's a place where it's a home, you come from a home where there's so much love. Then now you're moved into a different home.
Sure.
And now you have to adapt. Because, you know, when you're a kid, you think everything is the same. So there was so much adjustments that I had to do because you are moved into a different space.
Mm.
And now you have to learn the rules of that home,
yeah.
You know. It was really difficult. So, like, I had it, the impact was, one, in terms of, so you talk of religion.
Mm-hmm.
You're moving from an Adventist home into a Catholic home.
Mm.
So because you're a kid, you can't make decisions of your own. You kind of have to adjust and follow certain programs, you know. But also in terms of as a child, you need so much love. You have so much to learn. But then before you know it, you have to realize that you have to fend for yourself
because
the place you're in is not home, you know. So you're forced to mature so quickly. I don't know if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then also in terms of, it affected me also in terms of like your education. Because I had to stay like for 3 years without going to school, you know, because I don't know, I was young, so I didn't know what the reasons were, you know.
Sure.
So, but before you know it, everyone goes to school. You're the only kid around the area that don't go to school, you know. So kind of lost that kind of development, you know. Yeah, so that's what I would say. Like, I didn't really experience him. All the things I know about him has been stories from my family of what kind of a man he was. And what I've come to learn, he was quite, he was a teacher, you know.
Mm.
And he ended up being a headmaster. So he was somebody who was very disciplined about education, you know. So there's quite a lot of things that I would have really wanted to know and experience him as an individual and as a father. But yeah, death happened. And yeah, so I think in terms of experiencing him, that's what I would I would share.
Mm-hmm. To our listeners at home, if you also do want to be a part of this conversation, the number to dial is +27 734 70 3520. That number again is +27 734 70 3520. If you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, you can drop your comments on the WhatsApp line. Share with us how your experience has been without your father. Mfundisi, I want to bring you back in. You know, Linda and Arnold, they're raising quite a very interesting topic of the religious part of their lives that was affected because they did not have their fathers, right? How important is it, the role of the father when it comes to the religious life of their children? If you don't have a dad, sometimes you don't even care about church. Sometimes he's the one who teaches you about the Bible. He's the one who teaches you about God. How important is that role of fathers when it comes to teaching their children about religion and their faith?
It's amazing. Mothers do that better, I must say. They have the gift of nurturing. They seem to connect with children very easy. But when fathers get involved, it makes a big difference. Remember, when the Bible says our Father who art in heaven, what it actually boils down to, when you see your father is supposed to be this man who is the strongest in the world. We don't go around boasting about our mothers beating up people. It's our fathers who do that. You know, it's like, my father can beat your father. You know, my father can beat this one. When we think strength, we think father. When we think protection, we think father. When you are bullied, you think father, you know, father. Now imagine now when you see that father kneeling down to pray.
Sure.
Who is a symbol of strength, and you see him being vulnerable and talking to God as his own father. It says, that's what I want to be. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it says something about religion. You know, mothers can be very, very religious, but then it's a mother, you know, emotional. But when the father gets involved, especially a father that you look up to, I must say, intelligent, perfectionist, and whatever. You just have a picture of a God who is intelligent, who is powerful and loving. He just gives you the picture that when you say our Father in heaven, you just think first of your father.
Sure.
So your father, actually the research has shown that for a seven-year-old, when they think of God, they think first of all through their father. God must be like my father, you know. So the role of the father is amazing. And you can tell why there's this concerted effort to destroy this fatherhood, the concept of father, to a point where it doesn't make any difference whether father or mother. It doesn't matter. No, it matters to your child. It does. It does. And by so saying, I'm not trying to say mothers are not important, you know. I mean, there's no way we would even talk about that. But I'm just saying the role of the father is amazing. You see, for Arnold lost his father, and he's not blaming his father for having passed away, but he might actually, some in his shoes say, why did God allow that? He might be angry at God for allowing the father to, he needs the father now for allowing, and sometimes I get very angry when I hear people saying at a funeral, don't worry, your father will go to heaven. The kids, they don't care. The child just wants the father here. A father who's in heaven is not going to help you. You need your father now here. When you're bullied at school, you need your father here, not a father who's in heaven. Sure. It's not very helpful. That can even create anger. He's somewhere in heaven. You're struggling here. And so for Arnold, it was it's a matter of a pain of maybe, it. Like I say, when I say Arnold, I mean people who have the similar experience as Arnold. Lost the father. For Linda would qualify to be angry at his father, at her father. Why did you leave? I mean, was it because of me? Is it because you don't love me? You know, all those questions, and they may actually challenge her in terms of identity. if I'm so beautiful, if I'm so loving, why would my father leave and just leave and come if I was such a very precious person? It tends then to challenge her own self-assessment, her own view of herself, and to a point where, and I'm not talking about Linda, I'm talking about the situation, you would actually feel very comfortable in seeing a person like a man who would say, I mean, I'm not talking about Nyaupe, but a man who says, I want to be your husband. You feel like, my goodness, which means there's something good about me. There he is seeing this, what my father did not see. Mm-hmm. But you heard what Linda was saying. When the Nyaupe guys are approaching me, could it be the reason why my father left me? I know she didn't put it like that.
Yeah.
Could it be the reason why he left me, that these guys, they don't see any value in me? They think I'm like them. Maybe that's the reason why my father left. And some of these thoughts, some of these voices, you know, depending on what situation you're in, can be loud at times, very loud, to a point where you begin to entertain self-doubt and have serious challenges. And just to mention one thing, for Arnold, when I say Arnold, I mean not just Arnold here.
Yeah.
Arnold, the situation is when your father passes away, it's recognized. You can see the grave, you know. If you are there, people who come and pray and say, we've come to bring comfort. But for Linda, when the father decides to leave, nobody brings any comfort. Nobody comes. So we're going to pray with you. Your father's no longer here. Life just goes on. Nobody cares, even in the church, to say, oh, Linda, let's pray for her. The father has left. It's just like, yeah, you're on your own. Sometimes really in the true sense of the word, on your own. In a sense, then it has been said in a way that divorce, or when parents leave or separate, especially when these acrimonious divorces, separations, it can be more painful than losing your father through death.
Yeah.
Literally, it can be more painful.
Yeah.
Because you've got a person who literally decided to just turn his back on you, and then you wonder, who am I? What happened?
If I were to say, Mfundis, you know, when my dad died, like the literal death, yandlula. For us, it was just like, he's dying a second time. He's already died, you know? So we didn't even have, we didn't even go to his funeral. And he died 2018, so that makes it 6 years. 6 years later, I've never had the thought that, maybe I should have gone. Because I felt like, mara wa fakdala musloyo. Like, I mourned him while he was still walking the streets of Western Cape, you know? So I had no capacity for pain anymore. Like, I emptied out my tears back then. Now it was just confirmation, like, okay, so now Home Affairs recognizes that you're a deadbeat dead.
Sure. I have questions. I have questions, but before those questions come, I just want to bring in Arnold there, Linda. I'll come back to that point there, you know, because with Arnold's case, the dead died, right? Arnold, did you have that sense of fatherly love from your uncle that you were staying with, or from the people that were around you? Were you able to get, because some people might say that, yes, the dead is not there, you know, this one and this one, they're able to make up for that. These ones are not there. Abobaba in the church, the fathers in the church, please stand up, be there for the children that do not have, fathers. Did you feel that love that you didn't get from your dad because you didn't know him, but did you feel some sort of fatherly thing from the people that were around you, the men that were around you?
I've always wondered how it feels to have a father. You know, it's something that I've never had a chance. And unfortunately, so there've been a number of adult male that have impacted me differently. But I think the sad part for me, I've always asked myself, the unfortunate part is I don't remember anything about him.
Mm.
My mother died when I was 12. At least I experienced her, and I still have memories of her, you know.
Mm.
So I had no benchmark on where I can measure to say, okay, this is how it feels to have a father.
Yeah.
Compared to the, yeah. So my uncle did play his part.
Mm.
My elder brother played his part. I had an elder brother that I really feel he stepped up too much. My uncle did, but you know, it's the African setup where he had a lot of people that he was looking up to.
Mm.
So really to give you that attention, you know, like that attention was not there. And it's not like a blame on him, but you realize that, my uncle was a boxer. So, you know, sports people made a bit of money and stuff like that. So, you know how it is when you have, somebody who's doing well in the family, like the African setup, they are like the one that takes care of everyone.
Yeah.
So we were quite many, and I honestly don't blame him for not giving me that attention that I needed.
Mm.
My elder brother did try to do that, but I think he played that part quite well.
Mm.
But I've never had like a role model of a father figure that I've looked up to and says, okay, this is somebody that helps me to mature or go through those stages until I'm a man, you know.
Mm.
And the unfortunate part is now I've got two children. There are times when I sit in the corner and I'm like, this is a trial and error. Like,
sure.
What am I doing it correctly, you know? And I try by all means make sure that I have time with my girls.
Mm.
But there's always that question of where you feel. I remember I was talking to a friend of mine where, like, you know, I wish there was a school that teaches fatherhood.
Sure.
You know? Yeah, like somebody just sits down with you and teaches you fatherhood, you know. Because sometimes I don't know, like, whether you're doing it right, you know, because you want your children to grow up to be good individuals, like God-fearing children, you know. And sometimes you don't know where to strike the balance between love and spoiling them, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's just complicated. And I look at them sometimes when they're sleeping. I'm like, are these people going to say we are the good father, you know, when all is said and done? So it's really difficult because I've never experienced the love of a father.
Oh.
Or even everyone that I call dad, or it's my uncles, people that are close to me, but you know deep inside you that they are not your father. And something that struck me, because I married in 2022, and you know, my uncle stepped up, played like the father, because there's all those negotiations, the Lobola negotiations that you do. There's at some point when it struck me, I was like, how would this feel if my father was the one in the corner? Like, so it's, but you never get to experience that. Then you're like, you know what? I'll never experience that. And also what I've learned over the years is, you know, people say time has passed, because I'm 39 now. My dad died when I was 6.
Sure. So, like, 33 years.
The part of my life has been without a father, you know. So, and you learn to live with it, not that you. I've just learned to live with it, you know. The pain doesn't go away, but then you just say, okay, it is what it is. And yeah, so I always wonder how it would feel to have a father, you know. That's what I guess.
Yeah. They're saying you're cutting onions, Arnold. I'm seeing quite a number of people saying Arnold is cutting onions. I'm also trying. Thank God those that are watching, you know, Zama left me a box of tissues here in studio. So I'm sorted for now. Bundisi, before you come in for us, you know, to speak about, the support that we would get from other male figures there, I just want to quickly bring in Linda, you know, to speak about this as well. He was there, he left Grandsharp. What then? Did you have people around you that what you learned from that 12 years you had with your dad, you're like, hey man, but umalume uyazama, you know, he's filling in that hole, or this person from church, whatever church, we know that you dabbled in churches, it's okay, you know, is there. He's filling in, you know, that gap of a dad. Or for you as well, there was a time where it hit you. You're like, if it was my dad, my biological dad doing this for me, you know, what would it be like? Talk to us about that in a short bit.
So, Mina Maiwan, the local church that we used to go to, when my dad left, they were not supportive at all. In fact, I stopped going to church, partly because of the church I went to.
Mm-hmm.
You know how Ellen White talks about this in Adventist Home, Uguti? Don't gossip in the presence of your kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because it builds a certain image. Because you could tell now that I'm grown up and sometimes I think about it, you can tell that these are conversations that probably the parents would have and the kids would then come and bring it in a kidly manner. You know, I would have my friends that I normally would hang around with asking me like, when is your dad going to come back? Is he ever going to come back? What has he, you know, because my dad left for work, went to Knysna, Western Cape. And so it was, what has he bought you ever since he went to Knysna?
Yeah.
You know, and you know, it's not a typical kiddies conversation, yeah. Especially for like an 11-year-old. Because my dad left in bits and pieces. Né?
Mm.
So he left, went to work, came back. Went back to work, came back, and then just one day he decided, I'm gone.
Mm.
I'm gone, you know? And at the time that he decided to go for good, he firstly came and broke the news, oh, I have another kid with some other woman elsewhere.
Mm.
Okay. And then it was the whole, yeah, shebang, shebang, whatever. Mm. So, I mean, my local church was not supportive at all. Partly why I then started questioning, should I even be Adventist? What kind of God is he? Firstly, that he allows my dad to go. Secondly, that he allowed my mom to go through so much embarrassment, so much shame. My mom eventually stopped going to church because of obviously the looks, zabazalwane, the questions, zabazalwane, the typical. You know, sometimes you don't need to be told that people are talking about you. You can just stand in an atmosphere and the hair at the back of your neck will tell you.
Hmm.
So we, all of us eventually gave up on church.
Yeah.
And then, you know, years passed. I went agnostic. I went Catholic. But for some apparent reason, I couldn't find what I was looking for, even in the Catholic Church. I can't even tell you that there was any support I got. No, it was more like fun. You know how people with drugs behave? Like you get that high, and then when the high is over, you go back to square one, like to your normal life. And that was what it was for me. But when God eventually spoke to me again, after many, many years, in 2012, I got baptized.
Mm.
The church that I went to, yo, there was a specific man who took an interest in what I said was what I wanted to study. Mm. And till today, I think I actually called him about 2 months ago. And I was like, you know, when I come to South Africa, I really should tell you about how life is going right now.
Mm.
He took an interest. He came home, you know, just wanted to know, Lomtana ozayedwa enkonzweni, where's the family?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where's the mother? Where are the siblings? So he even came to my place and met my mom. Oh, sabona mama kaLinda. Oh, mina, I'm sorry, so sikhonza noLinda. I just wanted really to know, uLinda uhlalaphi? And you know, what's her story like? She has mentioned bits and pieces about her family, but I wanted to know it for myself. And I felt like it's better for me to come. And, you know, the way he used to hype me up on my education, it was amazing, so much such that it impacted how I handled the rest of life.
Yeah.
So I did have that one person, yeah. You know, really was supportive. Family wise, I don't want to lie to you. You're my dad's family. You're toxicity defined.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. All right. But sure.
Family wise, yeah, my dad's side, yeah. Not really. Yeah. My mom's side, because my mom comes from a family of 9, 6 are girls. And abanye sebashona. I only have one uncle who tried his best.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, we had such a large distance between us, but he really tried his best as much as he could, you know. So I did have a period of no support, but not only no support, being completely trodden underfoot by abazalwane. I had so much anger. I don't want to lie to you. Sometimes I feel like, have I dealt with all of the anger? You know, you sit and you wonder if you've really processed and dealt with all of it. Because yeah. I was angry at God. I had a special set for God of anger. I was angry at my dad. Special corner for him.
Yeah.
I was angry at the Adventist church because what kind of people are you busy gossiping about fatherless children, you know? I was angry at the community because people built up generalizations about what a fatherless girl is like or she should be like. I remember just during the week, funny enough, I was sharing, it was our anniversary with my husband last week, our 6-year anniversary. So because we both didn't have fathers. So our wedding picture has the both of us with our mothers. And I shared that picture and I was like, children of single mothers. And I think we did all right.
Yeah.
And someone said to me, yeah, yeah, you did more than just right. God carried you. And I said, Yazi, we must stop with these generalizations, because someone came up straight to me and said, Yazi, nina mantombazane nikhula ninganabo baba niyahlupa, you want to control. Those things as a kid, they bring you down. They surely brought me down, because those are the things that community will say to you. You're a fatherless girl. You're so controlling and all of that. So support came, albeit at a later stage.
Yeah.
But it was very impactful. I then also moved to Ilitha Labantu SDA in Pretoria East, probably the most amazing church I've been to. That was the first church that ever prayed for me because I do not have a father.
Sure.
They stopped because we had a lesson on forgiveness. And I kept asking questions. And you know, when you're asking for a friend, but it seems apparent the friend is you. You know, and they picked it up. Linda, what's going on? And I burst into tears. And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'm 23. And I'm realizing, man, my dad still makes me mad. I mean, my dad would still post me on his Facebook. And I'm like, how are you posting my picture on Facebook? Where did you even steal my picture from? Because you don't even know how old I am. I mean, my dad didn't even know when I was writing my matric. When I said exams, he was like, what exams? Dude, I'm doing my trick, you know? That church realized I was going through something hectic. To this day, when I speak about that church, my heart is in a different, I don't know, in a different dimension altogether.
Yeah.
For the first time, the church stopped its service and said, we are going to pray for you. They prayed for me, not only on that day. I got to learn 2 years after I got married. They prayed for me every morning until I got married, until I left Gauteng. 2 years into Eastern Cape, they were still praying for me. The support I received, even when my dad died, was amazing. There were people who were willing, listen, we can drive down. If you want to go, we can fly you down, whatever. It showed me that I now belong to a community of brothers and sisters in Christ.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. That's amazing.
Mfundisi, before you speak to us about, you know, the community or the people around us stepping up. You know, there is a comment that came through from Usam Gelisiwe here on Facebook. Fundis, I'm also going to ask that you also speak about that, where she's saying that I can relate to the idea of being angry with God. My dad was murdered. I still have questions as to why God allowed it. My dad was an ordained elder. He served his God with all his strength. But, you know, so because Linda Mfundisi also mentioned the issue of being angry with God. You let me know this person, you let me see this person, and then he left, you know, being angry with God. Before you speak about that one, Fundiswam, the support that we can get around us, those who do not have their fathers, I think I relate to most people here. I didn't have that. I don't know what a dad looks like. I have him. He was here, but I never had that support. Others, it likely they do have that support. So how important is it for people to step up? Because even when we're preaching, we say that, yeah, my daughter, Kinani, you know, step up and be there for these children. But in reality, it's really not the same. Mfundisi froze there a bit. Fundis, if you can unmute, and then we'll see Fundis when he comes back. Let's see as he's trying to fix that there. There's a comment as well that came through on our WhatsApp line whilst we were waiting for Pastor to come back, coming through from Utami.
This child feels.
Okay, welcome back, Fundis.
As it is, it's more like to be without a father. It's like a disease. I'm not sure whether
you are back now.
I think I lost you guys.
Yes, yes, you are back now.
I think you are back. I was always here. So I'm a present father. I never left.
I can't. Okay, continue, yeah, President.
I think the church really we need to hear a lot of such stories and testimonies to know what it means to be there. Go home. But when a church stops its program and prays for a child, a 23-year-old, a 20-year-old, that's something. You know what it does? It says to this child, actually, God cares.
Yeah.
Because this is God's representative. This is the church, a church of God. If this church cares like this, even though you still don't have the answers, but at least the caring part, you know it's there.
Mm.
You know, yes, the questions are still there, but you feel like, you know, they care.
Mm.
But we love our programs more than the people. Eh? We do our things, we go through the emotions, we do this and we go home. But I've been touched by Linda. I think I'll keep telling that story wherever I go. Mm. That, you know, sometimes
I think you know him. Dr. Moshe Swartz.
Yeah.
He stepped up and became a dad for me. We worshiped together at Ili Talabank. So much such that even when I got married, he provided about 80% of the food at my wedding.
Wow.
Mm. And he became the father. You know, he filled that void. I think that's what we need to do. We may argue about God's existence and his love, but if we don't show it, no one is going to believe us. That those questions may remain, but the pain may subside when we as a church, I think we still need to do a lot in terms of what it means to worship. So I think now that the for example, the community out there, I know there's a fatherhood project in UCT. They do research and do evidence-based intervention and help fatherlessness and how to the whole issues of masculinity and identity. Sisonke Gender also, they're doing what they can do. So there are doing a lot. And remember now, families are not as united as they used to be. So when your father is absent, you really feel it.
Yep.
More ways than one. So the church needs to step in and be that family. Actually, even closer than our biological extended family.
There's a comment here. It's quite lengthy, coming through from Tammy. What also makes the effect of an absent father in the olden days is the secrecy around his absence. When one asked questions, he or she was met with silence. I think telling the child the truth would help the child overcome the pain of feeling like they are an outcast. For me, it would have helped if I was told the truth. Asking about my father was like looking for a needle in a haystack. I only got to know his surname when I was in my 20s. This leaves me with a question. How does a mother break the news to the child that their father is and will not be there? Yeah.
You know, that question speaks to the, you know, that question destroys all these fallacies that children just need love and protection. They don't really bother. It doesn't matter who does that. No, it matters. Children need love, but you know what they need more especially is love from their father. the uncle can still give it. That's fine. We appreciate it. The grandfather can still do it. Somebody else can still do it. But the love from the father, the person who brought me in this world, where is he?
Yeah.
So they need that love from that person. Our traditional rural villages did the best they can to protect the child. You grew up thinking that your grandmother is your mother and your grandfather is your father. You know, that's fine. It protects you until one day then you want to know. I just want to know my father now. Thank you, Daddy. Thank you, Grandpa, for what you've done. Thank you, Grandma. I just want to know my father. You know, for the psychological factors and of identity, for instance, Linda speaks fondly of her father. He was a perfectionist. He was this, and I can see that in me. It that speaks to the whole idea of identity.
Yeah.
You know, I could do the same. I could give Linda money, buy her cars, but I can never give a love the father to a child, especially if you're married once to that man, and say, well, your father was a good person. I don't know what happened. That's why I married him. But once you make him an animal, and then the question, but why did you marry an animal? You know, he was a good person. I don't know. We had our differences. You know, to give that picture, because the child now, if you keep saying to your child, you're just like your father, and the child
Mfundisi froze again. Okay, while Mfundisi comes back. Mfundisi, we know you're present, but your network is not present. So while Pastor is coming back, let me take this question before we go to Arnold here. Anonymous is saying here, what Linda is saying about the forgiveness and prayer. I had an encounter which was where I realized I had harbored some resentment for Dad's leaving and subsequent passing, you know. Another one that came through as well from Sister Amanda saying, wow, this show is quite triggering. We apologize. I have a father, but I don't want anything to do with him. I always feel as though I have forgiven and concluded to, as far as possible, live in peace. But to think about him gets me upset and I get nightmares. Include me in prayers. We are going to be praying for that one, Sis Amanda. Arnold, let me bring you back here. For those that are watching, Arnold, ne? Load shedding. So you know, we know the struggle. So he has load shedding, but he is there. So you can't see him anymore. So I just want to bring you in there. You spoke about, Arnold, you know, you spoke about looking at your daughters and you're like, you question yourself, you know, Uguti, are you doing something, are you doing good or you're not doing good? And one thing also, maybe if there was a book or anything, I remember I had a conversation with my son as well this week and I told him and I was like, you see, when you're studying medicine, you get these things, it's 2 + 2, you know, the answer is 4. And then you get all of these things. And I'm like, but we don't have, books to teach us this is how you become a good parent or you become a good dad, anything else. With the experience that you've had, Arnold, and what you are saying, thinking with the friends as well, with the families that you have had, and even though you're questioning yourself, do you think that it's that lack of that fatherly love that it's pushing you to be that super duper dad? And yeah, you may spoil your children, it's okay.
Zanel. And therein lies in the whole thing for me, because it's like you've experienced the hurt, you know how difficult it is not with a father around, you know. From a psychological perspective, from a financial perspective, like I mentioned, like once my father was not there, I couldn't even go to school, you know. I had to learn at an early age how to make money, you know. You start hustling. Before you know it, you know how to make money, you know. And sometimes I'm like, I should have been allowed just to, you know, to go through life and learn certain things at a certain stage. Mm. So I try to cover it up, make sure that they don't have to go through that.
Mm.
That's why for me, even if I'm at work, they tell me, my child, this, I leave whatever I'm doing.
Yeah.
I have to go.
Yeah.
You know? My boss knows that, you know. If my daughter is not feeling well, and sometimes, you know, I overdo it. To the point where it frustrates some people, you know. But I just feel like because I understand how it feels not to have a father.
Mm.
I understand how vulnerable as a child you become in the absence of your father, you know. Because I've been through that, I experienced that, you know. And that's the last thing I want for my children, you know.
Yeah.
So I do that. I do that. I'm overprotective of them. But like I was saying, I don't know where the limit is.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's scary. Like, you also don't want to spoil your children because, you know, the world can be unkind.
Mm.
So you teach them right, you know. So those are some of the things that you go through. And unfortunately, it's kind of, sometimes I said, look, this is Trandela, whether I'm doing good or not.
Mm.
I remember a friend of mine mentioned to say, you know, these children actually just think we are heroes. They don't even see through us.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So I'm doing all I can, you know, and I'm trying to make up whether I'm doing it correct or not. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I tried the best I could for them.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Are you back? We know you are present.
Yes, yes. Yes, I am back. I'm back. Thank you for your prayers.
Amen. Vundisi, when we started, you know, with your first answer, you mentioned something that I want us to touch on. Linda and Arnold, I know they did not experience this one, but I'm very much sure they will help us with it. The issue of transactional fathers, Mfundisi, they are not present, but they are present. They are not present, but they are present. When the children need this, the money is there. In fact, some of us, we have double salaries. Né? We have the one we get paid at work, and we know the other one that's going to come for the child, that the dad is going to send the money. But they don't know the father. They don't know what my dad looks like. They don't know what my dad looks like when he's happy, when he's sad, when he prays. Does he even pray? They don't know all of these things. But they know that if I cough, there will be money available to send me to the doctor. If I want to go and study at the best schools around, there will be money being provided. Talk to us about that, Mfundisi. Is it a good thing? Because they are providing. I mean, like, really now, they said we must provide. They are providing, but we don't know these fathers.
Yeah. It is a good thing. We can't say it's a bad thing. We need money. We need care. When I'm sick, I need to go to the hospital. When I'm studying, I need to know that my fees will be paid. But is it enough?
Mm.
Is it enough? Now, I would say for both, first of all, the father who just dishes money like an ATM with no relationship with the child is missing a lot.
Mm.
Is missing. One day he will be in his deathbed, and will be surrounded by strangers that he does not know.
Sure,
no memories. You know, there's nothing as beautiful as to look at your girl child, your boy, and the pictures of a graduation, pictures of your child playing soccer, and you were there. Those things money cannot buy. And so, first of all, I would say fathers miss out a lot in thinking that all that matters is presence, TS, and not presence, CE.
Mm.
And we need then to let them know that what we are doing is good, but you can do more. But let's not also be seen to be condemning. We don't know why they are afraid of attachment. They could also have their own father issues.
Mm.
They'd rather give money. So they need help. I mean, honestly, they need help.
Mm.
It's important for us to recognize that. But for a child also who only gets money, I remember this little girl who said to his father, was about to leave for another 2-week trip. He says, "Daddy, are you leaving again?" And the father says, "I've got to put food on the table.
Mm.
So I have to leave." And the child says, "Daddy, if I eat half of my food, sure, will you stay at least more at home?" That goes to show you that, yes, I appreciate the fact that you give me food, but I would like to also have you, to play with you, to connect with you, because we are human beings.
Mm.
We need that touch. We need that relationship. It also helps us. We're not just food only that helps us to grow, that protects us from bacteria and viruses. Also relationships, knowing that there's someone who cares.
Mm.
And that's probably the reason why God gave us everything, but then gave us the Sabbath to say, "I want to be with you.
Mm.
I want us to spend time together." Because the very understanding and symbolism of Sabbath is God's desire and willingness to be with us, to tabernacle with us. Actually, God's greatest joy that sums up what heaven is like is where the Bible says, "And God's presence will be with us. He will tabernacle with us. He'll be with his people." That is this. That is the content. That's what we mean by heaven, God being with us. And we miss a lot as fathers if we don't create those moments where we can be with our children. Right now, as I speak, I'm with my son here in Cape Town. I came to visit. So even though I'm not talking to him, but at least I'm around. And he's old. He doesn't really, really need me to be here. But not a bad idea.
Yes.
So he keeps seeing you in the background here.
Yeah, I'm
here.
We are chopping onions here. Fundisi comes out. Shot left. We are busy. We're about to cry because the conversation is deep. Fundisi comes out.
It's life.
So Fundisi, speaking about that one, earlier on, before I started the show, and I was speaking to Uzamile before he finished his show. He mentioned the issues of priorities, because I raised it. And I was like, for example, we have fathers that are working, and some we have, I think, Tina, this generation, we're a bit better. Tina is just the absent fathers. But with our father's generation, you know, they would have the children leave them emakaya and come to work, you know, in the burbs and everything else. And they were never there. And then he raised the issues of priorities. And as also that you are also raising the issues of, you know, tabernacling together, being together there. Would you say that the problem we're having this day is not managing our time nicely, and also the issue of I suffered when I was young, therefore my children will not suffer. So I'm putting my all into making this money, neglecting that part of me being present with them.
Yeah, that could be that also. That's why I say, if you suffered and you are reacting based on your suffering, you better make sure that you go through therapy.
Mm.
Because if you're going to act based on your suffering, you might actually cause more suffering in a different way.
Sure.
Mm.
You know, children who were beaten almost every day, treated whatever, then they vow that I'll never do anything. I'll never say no to my child. I'll never say this, because they always said no to me. You know what's happening now?
Mm.
You go to the other extreme. There are many ways of killing a cat. Then you're going to kill this cat in that way. So what we need, rather than sometimes bragging or just keep emphasizing our pain, we need to find healing.
Yeah.
So even when we speak about our pain, we speak about it from a perspective of healing.
Mm.
In other words, we don't want gaping wounds, we want scars. Mm. If a scar is a wound that has healed, all right, so we may have the scars, that's okay, that's life. But when the wounds are there, bleeding and whatever, nobody should touch you. Because remember, your emotional wounds, you don't want anybody near. Those emotional wounds, you're afraid that they will cause more pain if people come close. So you keep them at a distance. You'd rather throw money at them. I had a friend of mine who said, I don't want children. And he said, why? He says, what if they die? So you see, so I'd rather not have them. Because I can't deal with the pain of losing them. You see, those are the things. Loving and getting attached, I mean, to people also goes with the idea that you may lose them. That's why the relationship becomes very important. You can't protect yourself from pain by not having a relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of life, unfortunately. Which will be solved one day. But even in marriage, I mean, how many divorces do we have? But we still marry. But we just say we'll give it our best, you know, and do the best we can and make it. And some do, some don't. So even with fathers who are afraid of emotional attachment, there's a lot written on the theory of attachment that we really need to tap into. It's a big, big subject, especially these days.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be surprised how much of the violence and the pain and the mental illness, how much of it stems from this deficient emotional attachment. It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Linda?
Amazing. If I may just also on that point, you realize just how forgiveness, as we normally get taught that in Gonzwin, is not a one-stop shop. You know, you come to the stop, I forgive it. And then that's just it. You wake up one day and you decide, today's the day I forgive my dad. It's an ongoing process that you go through as you realize how it impacted you. I had to learn this the hard way, because one of the effects, for me, fatherlessness affects a lot of people socio-emotionally more than anything. Finance is number two, the emotions. And I think when I analyze it, I've come to a point where I realize it's very much the plan of the devil, because it affects how the substance of your character breaks down. And the only thing we're going to take to heaven is our characters. And so if your character can be murdered in its infancy, which is another thing, we are left fatherless as young as possible, because it's very easy to annihilate something in its infancy. It's very difficult to break you at your age, Zanelli. It takes a lot. I mean, you've been through battles, you've been through things that you didn't even know you would go through, you know? And so even when you lose your parent, there's pain and everything. However, the fiber of your character, the substance of who Zanele is, has been formed. It's very difficult to break that. And so I realized when I was married, my husband was not allowed to make a mistake. And eventually you kind of sort of, okay, you realize, okay, all right, there's something wrong with me. I sort of need to work through a couple of things. And you think, Hyman, I've done the work, until you move on to the next stage. I'm pregnant. And then we have our daughter. One of the things I would, oh, my husband, if you're listening somewhere, forgive me. One of the things I would always say to my husband,
yeah,
whenever we would fight, even for the smallest things, Zanele, we would fight over the fact that he just didn't replace the tissue in the bathroom. I would fight him so bad, and I would tell him, listen, if you're going to fail me, it's fine. If you're going to divorce me, it's fine. Just don't divorce your daughter.
Yo.
Now, see, 2018, when I married him, I thought, yeah, I think I've dealt with the daddy issues I had. And then somewhere around 2019-ish, when you guys keep butting heads, you realize, man, here's my character in Enkan. And in Enkan, Leana, you mean relationships are one thing. If my dad could leave me, who are you when I met you with 32 teeth? You know? And then you move away from that and you realize, as a parent, I must also now go through the healing of how do I then become a better parent than what my father wasn't? Because constantly he would have to hear, if you're going to divorce me, it's fine. Just don't fail your daughter. And that was from a place of hurt.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking, okay, so if we're fighting, it means our marriage is probably going to end like my mother's and father's. That's okay, but at least just
be there for your
just
daughter.
Just don't be there for your daughter.
Hi guys,
that must have been cutting for my husband, which is why I'm apologizing again. It must have been cutting. I mean, I think goodness me, really, he trusts his God. He withstood that. But anyway, we'll come back to that. You're bleeding on the people that didn't cut you.
Yeah,
and so. When we speak about helping children that do not have fathers, iskatasiningi, we also mistake this for providing groceries, providing food, making sure people have accommodation. The biggest thing for me is nursing those emotions, because that's where the danger is. When a person is so angry, you know, Zanele, when a river is still hushing and you can hear it, it's dangerous, yeah. But have you ever realized that the rivers that drown people are so full, there's no sound? The river's just like quiet. That is the level of anger that most childless fathers go through.
Sure.
Where I'm just sitting here. And when you look at me, I crack jokes. That was one of my coping mechanisms. Yes. I think it still is at my old age.
Same.
I crack jokes and everything. But I am seething in anger on the inside. And I don't know who bewitched us as Adventists, because we don't seem to think there is something godly about emotions. Let's be honest. We don't want to nurture the emotional part of the human being. And I'm like, but if that is marred, forget about impacting the character. So when we speak about being there, making a difference, one of the ways I would say is have a sit down. Fine, they may not want to talk to you. Let's get healing in there, in those emotions, in that character that is being assassinated by the devil. Because if we don't, he should, for sure. Then now you start seeing people taking drugs, and now, you know, it's a big hoo-ha when Linda is now smoking weed. But Linda has been smoking weed for the past 5 years emotionally.
Sure.
So the action is just a fulfillment of what has already been taking place in silence. She's been a very silent river, but a very deadly one. She's been a deep one.
Sure. Yeah, Guning. Yeah, we are all cutting onions here today. We're nearing the end. Arnold, I just want to bring you in back quickly before We're going to wrap with Mfundisi. We're also going to go into a season of prayer. I see quite a number of comments that require us to pray there. Arnold, you lost your parent at a very young age. Talk to us about the healing process for you. I think all of us agree that it's not a one-stop shop. You know, having lost your dad at the age of six, that healing process for you, how was it for you? Maybe someone can glean something from that.
Yeah. Okay. So from my part, I think one thing I thank my mother on, you know, my mom used to be Catholic. Then I think in her late, I think just maybe a few years before she passed on, she converted to SDA. Mm-hmm. And we, out of the nine children, we are only two that were born when she was SDA. Mm-hmm. You know, so we kind of, and I'm the one that she carried everywhere, you know.
Okay.
And remember, I only lived with my mother for the 9 years of my life. Because I stopped living with her when I was nine. And throughout these, the 9 years that I lived with her, it was always, she made sure I learned so much about Ellen G. White, her books and stuff like that. So even when I was moved from the SDA home to live into a Pentecostal, in a Catholic home, then later in a Pentecostal home, I always had those memories of the books from Ellen G. White.
Mm.
So I think growing up, one of the biggest challenges I had, at some point I became very suicidal, you know, because I think I relate with what Linda is saying. Sometimes you're just like, why? You know, the why question was always there to say why.
Sure.
And I would always have these thoughts because my mom would talk about, you don't have to drink medicine when you're not sick, you're going to die. So like I could take medicine when I'm not sick, thinking that's going to happen, you know. Mm. But over time, when I grew up, was able to read, I could find a lot of books from Ellen G. White. I think I read so much of her books, you know. Those things gave me hope. Mm. I had to find a way where you, not real, I don't know if healing is actually the right word. It's acceptance for me,
mm.
you know. Because there are times when you think about your parents and like maybe on graduations or even when my daughters were born, on my marriage, sometimes you think to say, okay, if they were there, like, you know, how would it be?
Sure.
So, I've kind of learned to live with it, to accept it and celebrate them for the short period I was with them.
Mm.
You know, I think that's how that's the kind of healing I've had. I miss them, but then you are like, okay, I'm now a parent. Like, I have to be strong for these. Okay. And hopefully the similar thing doesn't happen to them. You know, mm. I have to be around. Yeah. So, it's one of the things that I've always thought, it's acceptance, because I've had friends also and family members that have failed to accept.
Mm.
And you know, the moment you don't accept that this thing has happened, like it really impacts just your entire life.
Mm.
You fail to perform, you fail to be good at anything, you know. Before you know it, you are doing drugs, you are
yes.
drinking, you know. There's nothing good that comes out of that, you know.
Mm.
So for me, it was one, acceptance, but also change. Church has helped,
yeah.
you know, because you kind of realize your purpose on this earth, you know. Yes, your parents were there, yeah, that's all right, but then you try to, you have to understand your purpose. Why am I here as an individual away from my parents, you know?
Mm.
So that's difficult. It's not easy, but you constantly have to ask that. And God has a way of just providing those answers. And also, I've seen the hand of God in most of the things that I've done.
Yeah.
The way life has been, where you're like, you know, yes, I don't have not had that full support of my parents.
Mm.
They haven't been there. But then you look at how God has been present in your life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I find church, worship, a relationship with God really does help. And just knowing the importance of your existence as an individual.
Mm.
So that has actually helped me at least to say, okay, I celebrate my parents. I wish they would have been there, but I have a life, I have a purpose, and I have a family now.
Mm.
Yeah, thanks.
Mm. Thank you, Arnold. On Facebook, YouTube, also on YouTube, Latoya is coming through here to say that, yeah, you're that so powerful. The church that cares. I can testify of Dobsonville East has played that role for me and my daughter, along with the Manuel family, which is the reason why I am a Seventh-day Adventist today. So we do say props to those churches that are there, you know, for our people there. And then I'm seeing the Pastor Mazuba saying that the anger against relatives that are absent. After the death of my father, caged me at a young age, had to sell on the streets. These are real conversations and we need more of them. And then we have Latoya again saying that, honestly speaking, till today, I still question a lot of things, both in my upbringing, single parent, and now I'm raising my child again, single parent. I believe more than anything, we need to forgive ourselves, our parents, and that is what holds us back mostly, because we can... what can I do to change the past? And honestly speaking, till today, I still question a lot of things, both, it's a repetition there, meaning that there's nothing that we can question in terms of the past. And then we have Cindy C. We're coming through as well, saying, I'm a 52-year-old, married for 26 years, have grown children, but I still feel the emptiness of growing with present absent father. And then Mercy, so they're saying wounds versus scars, relating to that comment that Pastor Papu mentioned about our wounds versus our scars. And then Mercy coming through saying that loving and getting attached to people sometimes means that we ought to lose them. But how we react after the loss is what matters there. So as we're about to wrap up, Fundis, are you back? Are you here? Fundis is here, guys. Pastor Papu, come back. We need you now to come close. He just stepped out for a bit there, you know. So he's back.
Actually, I'm left with minus 30 minutes.
Yes, we are. So yeah, we are praying. We are praying now, Mfundiswa.
I'm supposed to be now. I'm entertaining another meeting.
Yeah,
on the side because. I promise I'll be there with them at 7:30.
Okay. No, we are about to wrap up, Mfundiswami. There is a need for prayers for us to heal because, yeah, we've been through the most. And a specific one that came that Amanda sent through as well, saying that she does not want to see or hear anything about her dad, and specifically asking for prayers to the Mfundiswami. And also, if you can just give us your closing words regarding this issue of the fathers being absent, others are present yet absent. If you can give us your closing words to the Mfundis, and if you can just pray for that healing, because I see quite a number of us are still hurting.
I'll end with what I started earlier on, that the complete picture of fatherhood is God. The fathers are there to imitate and to represent God. And sometimes even in our best moments, we fail. We're not what God would want us to be. And for that, we ask God to forgive and confess our limitations and our sinfulness. We also need to understand that even when you've got the best father in the whole world, like the best in the whole world, you may not prevent him from dying. Mm. You may not prevent him from aging and leaving you. Mm. So the fathers we have on this earth are supposed to be a conduit, a channel to help us connect with God. The Father will never leave us. The Father was promised never to forsake us, was eternal. That's the whole purpose of fathers. If I can connect my children to God as their father, then I know my purpose in life has been fulfilled. And that's the real thing. Because if we are going to get to a point where we think our fathers can take the place of God, we're just setting ourselves for serious disappointment, where we never heal when our fathers die, when our fathers leave. And I want to say even to those whose fathers left that they also may have been dealing with issues that we may not even be aware of. Remember, people had. So we also need to get to a point where we get healing. Otherwise, we don't have us.
Mpundisi, you are breaking. You are breaking there, I think. Let's switch off the video. Maybe it will stream better. And then just have your voice. Yes. Yes. Let's take it.
I'm just saying, remember, if we don't deal with our head, we will do the same to those we love. A broken heart cannot also be a loving heart. You need a strong heart to love. But if your heart is bleeding, chances are you will cause other hearts to bleed as well. Not intentionally, as Linda was saying, that she discovered that she was a little bit too strict and perfect and you know, very sensitive, making sure things are this way. You know, that looks okay, but you can actually hurt and cause a pain to a point that you destroy your relationship because of that. And when you realize those things, then you know that this is coming from my past and I have to deal with it. So I always say that we never blame people for being hurt, but we don't want to also encourage them to think that just because they are hurt, they should not take it upon themselves to find healing. If a drunk driver knocks me with his car, he's wrong. He must be arrested. But I can't stay in that embankment and say, no, he hurt me. I'm not going anywhere. Go to the hospital. No, I'm not going there. He has hurt me. I'm not going there. You take charge. You have been hurt. And the person who did that is responsible and must face the consequences. But you must also find help. Go to the nearest clinic. Yep. Get yourself sorted. It's just, in other words, even though you didn't cause the pain, but it becomes your responsibility to deal with it and make sure that you don't cause unnecessary pain to others. If you are not healed, I promise you, you are hurting someone even as I speak. You are hurting someone. And that someone is you, yourself, to begin with, and the next person seated next to you. A broken heart can never embrace a child who needs to be loved. Because to love is to be vulnerable. You can't be vulnerable if you're already broken. So we need, through our brokenness, come to God and let his healing make us anew. And you know what God does? He can so mend us that our brokenness becomes a step in making us even better people than we would have been if we did not suffer from those brokenness. And my prayer is that God would bring the necessary healing and make us better people. Who will make this a better world through the pain. That's how we conquer our pain. Let the pain be a source and of healing to others around us, because we know how it feels. We know how it is. And may God bless all of us.
Amen. Thank you. Mpundisi, before you go, please pray for us.
All right, let's pray. Our kind and loving Father, we thank you that we could spend this time talking about this subject. To many, this is a trigger, Lord. It reminds them of the pain. It reminds them of the loss. It reminds them of sadness, disappointment, discouragement. It reminds them, Lord, of all the negative things. It also brings all kinds of questions, Lord. And so we pray, Lord, you know where it's heading. We even pray, Lord, not just for healing on our side, but for forgiveness, because we know with forgiveness comes healing. That you not only forgive us for the way we have reacted because of our pain, but forgive those who have hurt us and forgive those who are also responsible for their hurt. And by so saying, we are not saying they are not responsible. They are just victims. We are created in your image. You have invited us to come to you if we are heavy burdened, because you want to deal with those wounds. Now we're running away from you because of pain, and then we find ourselves in more pain, now self-inflicted. Please be with us, dear Father. Stretch your healing hand, touch those bleeding hearts, answer those questions, bring comfort, bring reassurance, bring stability in families that are ravaged by these wounds in more ways than one. And bless us all now. We thank you for Arnold, who was willing to come and share with us, and Linda. May you be with them, dear Father, and bless their families. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Mfundisi, thank you so much for coming through and speaking to us. Linda Arnold, thank you, thank you, thank you so much for coming through and opening up. May you have yourself a happy Sabbath. It's happy Sabbath. Blessed Sabbath to all of you. To our listeners at home and those that are watching us on the stream, this was Bible Perspective. We do this every Friday. Sometimes you look at the Bible and what it says is strictly about certain things. Some days we bring in the human element and then we speak about these issues that affect us. If you are there at home as well or watching and you also have something that you would want us to discuss or you want us to share about something, do not hesitate to drop us a comment there on +27 734 703 520. If you're watching on the stream, you can drop a comment. We'll be able to watch it. But then for me, Zanele Zamayi, it is a goodbye and stay blessed. Coming up next, it's going to be our lesson study coming
up. The onion, don't worry, we understand.
It's going to be our quarterly lesson study. And then tomorrow morning, you wake up with Millicent Dueni, who's going to be here with you glorious morning up until the day we have you locked up. So don't forget to like and subscribe on the pages that you're currently watching on. And also do go to The Seed Media, so to www.sidmedia.org, in order for you to download our app so that you can continue listening. It has been a lovely one. For me, Zanele Zamayi, it is a goodbye and stay blessed. And if you do need a prayer, this is how you can, in fact, send us your prayer requests.
Are you in need of prayer and support? Or do you have a Bible question? We invite you to share your prayer requests and questions with us. Whether you're facing challenges, seeking guidance, or simply needing comfort, our community is here to pray for you. Through the power of prayer, we can find strength and hope together. Don't hesitate. Send us your prayer requests now. Let us be a source of support in your time of need. Remember, you're never alone. Share your burdens and experience the power of collective prayer. Send the words SID7PRAY to +1 949 860 7007 on WhatsApp, and one of our digital missionaries is ready to pray for you or answer your Bible questions. That's SID7PRAY to +1 949 860 7007 on WhatsApp. Adventist World Radio, SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
Do you have questions from the Bible? Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
No. So there won't be any chat. Yeah. Whoa, whoa.
Jesus, send this way to Jesus.